All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody in the chat, share, like a chair, like a chair. Get it out there to as many people as you possibly can. If you're watching on any other platform, switch over to Rumble now. Lots of people on Rumble. Not sure how many are on right now. Over 500 on Rumble right now. If you're wondering what Tom's talking about whenever he says he's got 600, 700, 800 people watching, and all you're seeing is me having 12 people on Facebook. They're all on Rumble, even though I have 30,000 followers on Facebook between the church and personally. But anyway, I digress for just a moment. But like and share, everybody. Let's make it as big as we possibly can. We're at record-breaking numbers now for a pregame. We're at record-breaking numbers. We could possibly get it, trying to get to 1,000 on Rumble. We need 500 people. Let's try to get there tonight as quick as we can, see if we can actually break the record. That'd be awesome. But anyway, let's hop right in. On the last video on the pregame, you had Trump talking about his $175 million bond that he had to give today. He's speaking right there in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He had to give his $175 million bond for a civil fraud case in which there was no crimes, no victims, and no fraud. So you have to pay $175 bond because he's appealing the case. Now, most of the time, what happens when you're appealing a civil case? Now, I understand when you're appealing a criminal case, when you've been found guilty in a criminal court of a felonious crime, not like Peter Navarro, who's been found guilty in a criminal court of a misdemeanor crime, he gets sent to federal prison. Not that.
Wild.
I'm talking about you've been found guilty in a criminal court for, let's say, armed robbery, And you're appealing it. Well, you go to jail for that. But in civil cases, when you're appealing a civil judgment against you, you don't pay anything until the appeal process is complete. Donald Trump was set to have to pay $500 million of a bond, $490 million. It's hard for me even to get these numbers together in my head. $490 million for a civil bond. And instead, of course, it got lowered. We know that. It got lowered to $175 million. And he still had to pay that, of course, today. But the bottom line behind it all is, of course, and as he said, murder. He's standing in Green Bay, but he's standing in New York City where the civil judgment took place. You're dealing with a no bond, no first appearance. You don't need anything in New York. You commit a felonious crime. They let you out right away. I mean, there's no bail. You have, of course, Soros prosecutors, cashless bail, defund the police. You know, allegedly reducing their crime rates by, which I'm going to get to in a minute, by actually just reclassifying crimes as non-crimes. But you have Trump has spent $175 million today in a civil case, civil fraud case, in which there was no crimes and no victims at all. So just more on this. So, of course, we have the four different areas. Are you trying to point at something, Aaron?
No.
Okay. Because I got a cursor going all over the screen onto my left here, so I don't know if Aaron's trying to get my attention. I got a screen that nobody else can see yet, unless Aaron pops it up there. Aaron can make anything be seen. But anyway, we have the four cases going on. Two of them are Jack Smith versus Trump with the document case, which is being adjudicated in West Palm Beach, Florida. Then you have the Jack Smith insurrection case against Trump, which is being adjudicated by Tanya Shutkin, a Biden acolyte in Washington, D.C., and then we had the fraud case, which is Letitia James, Alvin Bragg. Well, not Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg's the next one. Letitia James and Judge Engeron, which is the civil fraud case that I just described. And now we've got this case. You can put it up for me. Laura Loomer tweet. Exclusive bombshell tweet. Judge Merchan, what is this case? Of course, and most of you know this, and I don't mean to be redundant, but there's people who don't know, so you have to kind of lay the groundwork. I'll make it brief. This is the Stormy Daniels case, where Trump paid hush money to Stormy Daniels. Now, again, I've got to lay the groundwork for you so that you understand this. First of all, nobody knows what happened between Trump and Stormy Daniels. Nobody has any idea. It's hard to say Stormy and Trump. It's like you want to say Stump, but Stumpy Daniels. But anyway, so Stormy between Trump and Stormy Daniels. Nobody knows what happened. I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. It didn't happen while he was president, like Bill Clinton. I mean, in his numerous sexual affairs while he was president, while he was governor, didn't happen while he was a politician. And that's if it ever happened. So allegedly, I mean, Trump did pay money to Stormy Daniels. Now let's go over that, though. So he pays money to Stormy Daniels, what he's being charged with by Alvin Bragg. And of course, again, laying all the groundwork, as many tributaries to the groundwork you've got to get, is that the DOJ turned it down. Alvin Bragg turned it down. And the U.S. Attorney of New York turned this case down. And then the Biden administration sent Matthew Colangelo, who is third in charge of the DOJ, in charge of their civil infractions division, which is third in charge of the entire DOJ. Matthew Colangelo, they sent him to Alvin Bragg to revive this case. That's what happened. It was turned down by Bragg, turned down by the U.S. Attorney of New York, turned down by the United States DOJ. Turned down. Now, why was it turned down, I wonder? Well, the number one reason why it was turned down was because the indictment states that Donald Trump, or the charge states that Donald Trump paid Stormy Daniels hush money out of his campaign finances. Only problem is that he paid Stormy Daniels long before he was collecting any, campaign finances.
Yeah.
That's the only problem behind the case, is that it doesn't exist. That's the only problem behind it, is that there's no possible infraction, just like his classified documents case. When you have the Presidential Records Act, there's no chance that he did commit a crime, and there's no chance that Joe Biden, with his compartmented 1,800 boxes worth of classified documents, didn't commit a crime. So that's what this case is all about. Now, so we need to look at all these judges. All these judges. So Alvin Bragg is bringing this case. So here's the judge in this case, a guy by the name of Judge Merchan. Now, of course, we're not talking about violence in any way, shape, or form, but there, and George Merchan has issued a gag order on Donald Trump, which, of course, he's not obeying, and he shouldn't, because you're not allowed to constitutionally to issue a gag order to a defendant in a case. Gag orders are for the prosecution, not to the defendant in a case. So in any case, criminal, I mean, or civil, I'm assuming, but definitely a criminal case, you can't gag order a person who's being criminally charged. You can't take away people's First Amendment rights who are being criminally charged, let alone anybody's First Amendment rights. You can, if it's a government worker, like an FBI agent, you're telling them, or a CIA agent, don't release classified documentation. You're not allowed to say these specific, highly classified, words, or you can't utter this classified knowledge that you have. That you can violate their civil rights there. So you can, if it's a prosecutorial staff, and say you're not allowed to talk about the case because you don't want to prejudice juries. Donald Trump, as a defendant, can say whatever he wants, but he's been gag ordered. And here's the reason why he's been gag ordered, because Donald Trump's been talking about Merchant's daughter. And he should be talking about Merchant's daughter, because this is, once again, a highly prejudicial judge. Just like Shutkin in D.C., just like Engeron in New York, all Democratic Party activists, not just Democrats, Democratic Party activists who give money to Democratic Party causes. They're not just Democratic Party judges. They're Democratic Party activists. Engeron, I'm not sure about as far as his donations. Jack Smith, on the other hand, his wife is a Democratic Party activist. Tanya Shutkin, the D.C. judge, is a Democratic Party activist. Alex Jones's judge was a Democratic Party activist. That's why they haul them in front of, as you hear me say all the time, blue jurisdictions, blue judges, and blue prosecutors. So you have absolutely no chance of winning whatsoever. Same thing, of course, happened with Donald Trump's case, with his civil rape case that never happened with a woman he's never met, never seen before in his life. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. And by the way, the Constitution expressly says that you should not, there's no way to convict somebody when it's just hearsay. Mm-hmm. So he said, she said case, you're not allowed to convict somebody on that, but he was. And again, even with that case, that case had long since run out of the statute of limitations. So what did Letitia James went behind the scenes and changed and legislated a new law so they could bring that case, because it's all about destroying Donald Trump. And it's not about being a sycophantic Trumpster. I'm not a sycophantic Trumpster. I'm voting for Donald Trump because his beliefs are most closely aligned with my own than anybody else running for president, obviously. Even when DeSantis is up there, when DeSantis is taking money from the Bush money machine, then I'm not going to vote for the guy for a president over Trump. Voting for Ron DeSantis, I think he's a great governor. I think he could be a great president of the United States, but he blew it. But again, I digress. So Donald Trump is talking about Judge Merchant's daughter, and he should be able to because she's a Democratic Party activist. Let's delve deep. Most of you probably all read it while I was talking. It's better, way better entertainment than me talking. Judge Merchant's daughter has Kamala Harris as a client. So this is the, now, what's so funny about this is that the left rejoices in this sort of political expediency and this political bias because they think they're going to win cases. But wait till we haul them in front of red judges and red jurisdictions and red prosecutors. I never can understand how you don't see the writing on the wall and how this will not spin and turn on you. As a client, so Judge Merchant's own daughter, he's going to be unbiased. But his own daughter has Kamala Harris as a client at her company that focuses on campaigns and elections. So not only does his daughter have Kamala Harris as a client, his own daughter has her at a client as a client at a company that focuses on campaigns and elections. So Judge Merchant's own daughter is a Democratic Party activist. He himself donates to Democratic Party causes. His own daughter basically is part of running the campaigns for Democrats, including Kamala Harris, but yet somehow he's going to be non-prejudicial. Judge Merchant, the NY State Supreme Court judge who issued a gag order against President Trump today, has a daughter named Lauren Merchant. She is the president and partner at a company called Authentic Campaigns, which means inauthentic. Anything a Democrat says is the opposite. It's the mirror truth. That boasts Kamala Harris as a client. They also have Trump hater Adam Schiff. So you have Adam Schiff, influencing this judge. Kamala Harris influencing this judge. And the only reason why this case is even happening is because they sent Matthew Colangelo from the DOJ to go meet with Alvin Twinkies Bragg and reignite this case. And remember, Alvin Bragg has met with the Biden administration. Letitia James has met with the Biden administration. Fannie Willis has met with the Biden administration. Nathan Wade has met with the Biden administration. Jack Smith has met with the Biden administration. Everybody in these alleged non-DOJ cases have all met with the DOJ. An X account belonging to Lauren Merchant under the handle Lauren M 426 shows her profile picture is President Trump behind bars. That's the judge's daughter. The judge's daughter in a campaign violation trial, his own daughter, her profile pic is Trump behind bars. He shouldn't recuse himself. Imagine if this was the other way. If you had Judge Lipley there, judge me. I'm judging Kamala Harris in a criminal trial. And my son or my daughter has a picture of Kamala Harris behind bars, which is where she belongs, but has her behind bars. What would the left say? They'd be all over it, but nothing here. See, that's the difference between you and me and the left. Those of us on the right, we would just go ahead and recuse ourselves. But have you ever noticed right-wing judges, what they call right-wing judges, are not political activists. Only left-wing judges are. Right-wing judges, I mean, look at the Supreme Court. You never know what Amy Coney Barrett's going to do. You never know what John Roberts is going to do. And a lot of times you have no idea what Brett Kavanaugh is going to do. And even when you're dealing with Clarence Thomas or Neil Gorsuch or Samuel Alito, they're still always fair. They're going to go Constitution. But not left-wing judges because they're all left-wing acolytes and just globalists. FEC reports also reveal that Lauren Merchant is a frequent ACT Blue donor. That's who elected the man who is prosecuting Donald Trump. So the judge's daughter elected Alvin Bragg. These are the facts, and he's going to get a fair trial. This is why most people believe that even in New York, Donald Trump's going to win these on appeal, win all these cases on appeal. The $500 million that he owes for the fraud case where there is no fraud and there is no victim and there is no statutory violation. That case is going to be overturned. If they find him guilty here, which they probably will, and the E. Jean Carroll case will be overturned, they'll probably find him guilty here. That'll be overturned. The Shutkin case, they'll find him guilty there, but that'll be overturned. I mean, when you're dealing with the Shutkin case, it's Donald Trump being charged with some sort of semblance of contributing to an insurrection. When he said you have him on video, it probably won't be allowed at trial. You have Donald Trump on video saying, "Go and peacefully and patriotically protest." That's the end of any participation accusation, as far as insurrection is concerned. It's right there. That is what you call exculpatory video proof that he is absolutely innocent of the charges. But Shutkin probably won't allow that video in. Just like she and many other D.C. judges will not allow video exculpatory innocence proving video to be allowed in any of the G6 defendants' cases. They won't allow exculpatory video to be shown by J6 defendants' lawyers or even given to J6 defendants' lawyers because it's a national security threat. Imagine being there, fighting for your life, fighting for your freedom. You're staring at a 5 to 20 year sentence in prison for a seditious conspiracy, and you have video footage that you were never there, and that's not allowed to be shown at your trial because Nancy Pelosi says and Christopher Wray says and the Capitol Police say, and the Biden administration and the Biden DOJ say it's a national security threat. What will set you free from a 5 to 20 year prison sentence is not allowed to be shown in trial. Just like Rudy Giuliani's case against Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman, where he was found guilty of defaming them for saying, this is what he said, they shoved the same ballots into the same machine over and over again. There's video proof that they did. That was not allowed to be shown as defamation trial. Where is the defamation trial held? Because they did that. They shoved the same ballots in the same machine in Fulton County, Georgia. Where was Rudy Giuliani's civil defamation case held? Washington, D.C. This all has to change. And we can't change it now. We don't have the people in position. And what's happening, too, is that the weak need Republicans like Gallagher, Ken Buck, people like that, who are spineless little pretend Republicans. And I could get into my whole thing about the, it's all just a big, synergistic tension fraud on Washington, on Capitol, but I'm not going to do that right now because that's 30 minutes. But the weak need Republicans are falling away, trying to hand the gavel over to Hakeem Jeffries for the Speaker of the House. That's good. Let them all fall by the wayside. Let them all go. Let them expose themselves, and we'll put genuine conservatives in their place. That's what needs to happen. And when we do hold power, we're going to have to walk and chew gum at the same time. Mike Johnson's got to go. We need Matt Gaetz to be Speaker of the House. And it's either Matt Gaetz or someone just like Matt Gaetz. Even Jim Jordan, too weak need. Push comes to shove. Jim Jordan has a tendency to bend. I love him. Wish it wasn't the case, but it is.
Yep.
We have to have people who are like the Word of God, like the Bible, Hebrews 4:12, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You got to have people like that. That's who has to be in place. And when we are, and Trump is that guy, he better pick the right staff this time and not go with the idiots that he's picked before, like Rance Priebus and the rest of those idiots, and John Kelly and all the rest of the idiots that he filled his national staff with. And Ivanka's got to go. Jared Kushner's got to go, although I've heard both of them aren't willing to come back anyway. That's a very good thing. It's a yeah, very good thing.
100%.
But anyway, he's got to bring Bannon back to the White House. He needs to have Bannon running the show in his White House. And I've heard rumor he's talking to Kevin McCarthy being chief of staff. That's rumor. That was on Jesse Waters. I hope that that's not true. A lot of that crap comes out. And he's got to pick, of course, the right VP. But when he's back in power and we run the DOJ, we need to be implementing all of our, we need to shut down the border. Zero people cross the border. Zero people for 4 years cross the border is what needs to happen. Zero. Nothing. There's no law that needs to be passed. Like Biden says, we need to pass laws so that people don't illegally cross our border. If it's already illegal, that means the law has already been passed.
Correct.
Is that hard? None of it's hard. But we need to walk and chew gum at the same time. We need to implement all the MAGA principles, get this inflation under control, stop the bringing in $4 to $5 trillion worth of revenue and spending $7 trillion. Yeah, $1 trillion $1 trillion added to debt every 90 days. That all needs to end. That all needs to end. But while we do all of those things and open up our pipelines, become a net exporter instead of a net importer, doing all those things again, that all needs to happen. But while that's happening, Anthony Fauci needs to be criminally prosecuted. Francis Collins needs to be criminally prosecuted. Rochelle Walensky needs to be criminally prosecuted. Deborah Birx needs to be criminally prosecuted. Joe Biden needs to be criminally prosecuted. And any other people you can possibly think of, I'm not going to try to think of everybody right now. There's many, many others that need to be criminally prosecuted. So as we cut off all funding to Ukraine, all those people need to be criminally prosecuted. While we build back our military, all those people need to be criminally prosecuted simultaneously by an aggressive DOJ. I'm trying to think of who I'd want to run the DOJ. For me, it would be Mike Davis running the DOJ. That's who would run the DOJ for me, Mike Davis. But I don't know if that's going to happen. And I'm trying to think of who I'd want to run the FBI. defense secretary would be Douglas McGregor. And, you know, the FBI, I'd either want, like, someone like General Flynn, but General Flynn might be, like, intel advisor again, or something like that, head intel advisor, but, or DEI or whatever it may be. But the right people have to be chosen, because we're going to have to do those things simultaneously. And it's very easily done. And it has to be done. There is no, well, we're going to let the past be the past, let bygones be bygones. No, because there are no let the past be past and let bygones be bygones with the Democrats. Because they're going to just do it again to you over and over again until you actually stand up to them, which is why I've told you 1,000 times, Brett Kavanaugh blew it for us and Clarence Thomas blew it for us. Clarence Thomas with Anita Hill, Brett Kavanaugh with Christine Blasey Ford. They needed to be sued for defamation. Neither one of them had any proof whatsoever that Brett Kavanaugh or Clarence Thomas sexually harassed them or in the Kavanaugh case, sexually assaulted her. No proof whatsoever. And they did nothing. They just moved on. Well, then you have the next. Then Matt Gaetz gets accused of it. And they'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And they'll hope to bring it in front of a blue judge where it's her word versus his word. And they get a civil settlement or even a criminal conviction based on hearsay. All right. So that's what's happening with the judge's daughter. Look at this one. Richard Grenell tweet. Adam Schiff is paid $10 million in campaign dollars to the daughter of the New York judge overseeing Donald Trump's trial. Oh, that's fair. How would you feel if you were in a criminal trial and your judge was receiving money from the person who's accusing you of a crime? Our legal system is filled with corruption. Voting for Schiff is voting for more insider corruption, of course, Richard Grenell. And Richard Grenell needs to be a major part of the Biden administration, of the incoming Trump administration. Again, he is excellent and a stone cold killer. He's exactly what you've got to have. Go to the next one for me, Heather. Here's the list of Adam Schiff's payments, monthly payments from Adam Schiff's campaign committee to Lauren Merchant, the daughter of Judge Merchant and Donald Trump's campaign finance violation case. Authentic Campaigns company in 2019 and 2020. Look at those numbers. As big as $615,000. $357,000 from Adam Schiff to the judge's daughter, and he's going to get a fair trial? Don't think so. Don't think so. All right, go to the next one for me. Adam Hughes tweet. This is off of Trump a little bit, but it's not, because John Eastman was a major attorney for Donald Trump during the entire election debacle of November of 2020, where Joe Biden and the DNC and foreign entities stole the election from Donald Trump. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but all this is what John Eastman did. You ready? Now, I'll read this for you first. Lawfare, ex-Trump election lawyer John Eastman has been disbarred. He's been disbarred in the state of California. Again, blue jurisdiction, blue judge, blue jury. Everywhere. It doesn't matter. I know this is a disbarment. There is officially a jury, though. It's a group of attorneys, all Democrats. Now, we're talking about somebody who's taught law school here. He is one of the most respected attorneys, not in the United States, in the world. That's who this guy is. What did he do to cause him to be disbarred in the state of California? He espoused what was called a fringe legal theory.
Oh.
Aaron's waiting for more. That's it. He espoused a fringe legal theory. What was this fringe legal theory? The constitutional argument about the powers of the vice president to certify electors. Does everybody know what the Constitution says about the vice president certifying electors? Either do I. You know why? Because it doesn't say it. It's what we would call ambiguous. So you then have lawyers and judges decide, right? That's called precedent. He just espoused a theory that it would be possible for Mike Pence to send the electors back to the states.
Yep.
He didn't. Did he sue anybody to do it? No. Did he force anybody to do it? No. He didn't force them by verbiage or by physical force. Nothing. He espoused what the left calls a fringe legal theory. Now, Aaron and I could find it. If I tasked him right now, he'd find it inside of 5 minutes. I can put a 10-minute, I can tell him right now, don't do it, Aaron. I'm not asking you to do it. Aaron will just do it, so I have to tell him not to
do
it.
You tempt me sometimes.
I know, I'm tempting him, so I got to be clear with him.
Yeah.
Because he'll do it, and he'll be up in 5 minutes or less, probably 30 seconds. I have a video, 10 minutes straight of Democrats denying elections, all with fringe conspiracy theories.
Yep.
None of them have lost their office. None of them have been disbarred. Many of them attorneys who did, including Hillary Clinton, who's an attorney. They have not been disbarred at all, but he's been disbarred. Now, I bring this up because this is a travesty of justice. As Adam Hughes says, this is lawfare, persecution via prosecution. I get it, but I bring this up because this is what needs to happen to all the Democrats. We'll disbar them in red states. That's what has to happen. Tom, vengeance doesn't belong to us. Not vengeance out of Romans 12, 19. It is not vengeance. It's precedent. If you don't set it, then they're going to keep on doing this over and over and over again. Every Democrat president must be impeached until they stop impeaching our presidents. Listen, all of them commit. Joe Biden, we can remove him off of ballots right now. And you need to remember something, too, with this, and to credit Dan Bongino with this. And when you're seeing Gallagher and Ken Buck leave Congress right now, Gallagher, that spineless little bent-over worm that he is, if he would have left on April 1st, they could have a special election and his seat would be filled immediately. But he waited until April 19th so that now his seat stays vacant until the end of the year. Of course, that's done on purpose because these alleged conservative Republicans actually want Hakeem Jeffries to run the House of Representatives because they're not legitimate conservatives. They say that they're conservatives so that they hold the seats of conservatives instead of actual conservatives. That makes sense, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, there's a lot of conservatives in that sentence. So that's what they're doing. So we have to set this precedent now. The reason why those guys are leaving is so that, again, with lawfare here, if Hakeem Jeffries becomes Speaker of the House, if he becomes Speaker of the House, he may be able to, because the Supreme Court, even when we're all so thrilled about them, it was 9-0 in the ballot case where Donald Trump couldn't be removed from the ballot. Amy Coney Barrett, for all intents and purposes, sided with the dissenting opinions. They weren't dissents, they were 9-0. They were partial dissents from being 9-0. She left the door open for Congress to decide if they can legislate states being able to remove national candidates off of ballots.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Ken Buck is leaving, because he's actually a Democrat. Mike Gallagher's actually a Democrat. And many of the others that you've seen leave are actually Democrats. It's just like scurrying Christians who leave churches when the Bible's preached. These are not legit Christians. They want the benefits of being Christians, but they're not legit Christians. So then when they actually hear Christianity, it offends them. When Ken Buck hears legitimate conservatism, the man who's up there licking the boots of Christopher Wray, I just think the FBI is just full of integrity. As he's locking up exclusively Republicans, the Republicans saying that the FBI is full of integrity. They're full of something, certainly isn't integrity. So that's, just so you know, that's behind the scenes stuff with that, and that's credit Dan Bongino. But, you know, here's the thing with this sort of thing. So if you're going to disbar somebody for a fringe legal theory, so now if I have a guy who, I'm an attorney, and I am representing a guy, and everybody knows that he's guilty. I mean, all the evidence there, the blood evidence there, DNA evidence there. 12 eyewitnesses said that they saw him kill the guy. He has his blood on. He has the victim's blood on him. He has his own blood on him. The victim has his blood on it. On him, the victim has the defendant's blood on him. It's lock, stock, and barrel. And I say he's innocent, then I can be disbarred, right? Because I just espoused the fringe legal theory. I now can be disbarred. It's the same thing that's happened in New York. What's happening with John Stewart, which I think is fantastic. It's more and more people are putting pressure on Letitia James to charge John Stewart with overvaluing his property. Remember, he sold his property that was valued about $1 million. He sold it for $17 million. Costing the person who bought it $4 million, he actually had a victim.
Yeah.
That's the difference between his case and Donald Trump's case, where you have Donald Trump's primary financier was Deutsche Bank, came and testified on his behalf. We love him. He's the greatest client we ever had. We love to do more business with him.
Yep.
Because all of his loans were paid back on time, with interest, in full, and oftentimes too early. Or he even got penalties because he paid back his loans too early. So in this case against Sean Stewart, there's actually a $4 million victim. So you look at the precedent the Democrats are setting that they don't see will boomerang on them when we want to turn it on them. You overvalue your property now in the state of New York? You can be criminally prosecuted. Yeah, but I just overvalued it by $10,000. Doesn't matter, you overvalued it. That's precedent Letitia James has set. And Geron and Letitia James have set the precedent. And they better charge John Stewart, better haul him in front, and he better get a civil judgment worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $17 million. Whatever you charge, that should be a couple million bucks. If Trump's is a half a billion, then that should be at least $5, $10 million for John Stewart, right? You just look at the precedent these idiots set. It's like when they eliminated the filibuster out of the Senate, so all you have to have is a majority vote. They loved it because they were in the majority. And then when you lose the majority, it bites you in the rear end like it has for the last 10 years.
Yep.
They're stupid idiots. It's like the Dominion voting settlement with Fox News, which I know what Fox News was doing. Fox News was simply paying off their majority minority owner, which is BlackRock, which owns Dominion. With their $700 million settlement, why did they pay them? Because Dominion sued Fox for having people on like Mike Lindell who made the assertion that Dominion was corrupt. So Fox has to pay because a guest says that Dominion is corrupt? Well, how are you going to have an editorial page ever? How are you ever going to have an editorial page in the New York Times ever again? Because you'll have to answer for whatever your editorial writers write. How are you ever going to do an interview again on any channel ever? Because if somebody espouses something that somebody doesn't like, you get sued for it. Mm-hmm. How are you ever going to do an interview again? I can't believe these people don't see this coming. I don't see how Fox didn't see it coming. They could be like, well, yeah, but we're just secretly, through the back door paying off our own stockholders. I know. But it's still, you've set the precedent now. How are you ever going to interview anybody ever again? That's what all of these cases like this are doing. All right, on to the next thing. Russia's ray gun, stealing that from Michael Cernovich. Love it. I just love it. I wrote on his feed there. I mean, he gets thousands of likes and comments, but it's like the greatest quote of the week so far. Russia has a ray gun. It's awesome. But Cernovich writes, Russiagate, Cernovich video here. Russiagate hoaxers claim Russia has a ray gun, which has been used in American intelligence community members' quad boosted COVIDians. Yeah, it's kind of funny because lo and behold, oh my gosh, you know what? Didn't even think of it. Credit Cernovich. Aaron would have said this in a minute. That's how Aaron's mind thinks too. I didn't put that together. I mean, as weird as that is, because I blame everything on the vax because it's all the vax's fault. It is. But I didn't even think of that. So lo and behold, Russia didn't have a ray gun until after the vaccinations. Mm. It's causing this Havana syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
This neurological disorder. Weird, because what does the S-spike protein do? That's being injected by the trillions into people. And you saw Mandy Cohen's video on the pregame. I was wrong. You know what? Here it is, Aaron. Here it is. Yeah. If you're wondering who I'm looking at, Aaron's over here. Heather's over here. There he is. In there. I was wrong. I want to make a public confession. I was wrong. I told you, whenever I'm wrong, I need to admit I was wrong. And on occasion, I'm wrong. So here's the thing. I said that the ninth vaccination was coming out this fall. I was wrong. It's the 10th vaccination for COVID-19. It's coming out this fall. Ninth one's already in place. So there we go. So it's kind of weird that lo and behold, Russia never had a ray gun that when it's aimed at upper end intelligence officials who are all nine times vaccinated, that suddenly they have neurological disorders. Weird that never existed prior to the COVID vax. Weird, isn't it? 60 minutes clip here. This is Greg Ed Green. It's weird how when you go by Ed, why would you go by two names when one of your names Ed? Greg Ed Green. This is him talking. 60 minutes. Play for me.
Are we being attacked?
My personal opinion, yes.
By whom?
Russia.
Greg Ed Green ran the investigation for the Defense Intelligence Agency. He would not discuss classified information, but he described his team's work from 2021 to 2023.
We were collecting a large body of data ranging from signals intelligence, human intelligence, open source reporting, anything regarding the internet, travel records, financial records, you name it. Unfortunately, I can't get into specifics based on the classification, but I can tell you at a very early stage, I started to focus on Moscow.
Can you tell me about the patterns you began to see?
One of the things I started to notice was the caliber of our officer that was being impacted. This wasn't happening to our worst or our middle range officers. This was happening to our top 5-10% performing officers across the Defense Intelligence Agency. And consistently, there was a Russia nexus. There was some angle where they had worked against Russia, focused on Russia, and done extremely well.
What has been the impact on American national security?
The impact has been that the intelligence officers and our diplomats working abroad are being removed from their posts with traumatic brain injuries. They're being neutralized.
They're being neutralized. Is it because they're 8 times vaccinated? Let's all choose together, shall we? You can give me your comments on the chat. Everyone, you can either put down Russian ray gun or vax. Which one is it? Russian, they're all being neutralized with neurological disorders called the Havana syndrome. Was it because they're 8 times vaccinated? Or is it because of a Russian ray gun? Let's all use some common sense together, shall we? Let's put this all together. Let's have a kumbaya moment. Russia ray gun or 8 times vaccinated? What could it possibly be? When you are injecting yourself with S-spike protein, which causes neurological disorders and 17 to 20 million excess freaking deaths, is it Russian ray gun suddenly? Or is it the vaccination? Here, we're lighting up. We got vax for sure. Vax. Someone got a Russian vax gun from Snarl Barkley.
Russian vax gun.
Russian vax gun. Awesome. You guys are awesome. Jules 21, hours, vax. KSMC Gregor 1963, vax. Jeanette Molfisi, something like that. Joe, yes, Ukraine, she's off subject. Come on, Jeannie. Alpha Acres, the experiment on everyone. Yep. That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, I sound like that guy. That's right. That's how I talk the whole time. You notice that? Everything's like, woo! You kind of have a little bark in between all. So you just have to think about it. I mean, again, I told you this. They're going to blame. I never thought Russian ray gun. I should never, ever underestimate the audacity and the galactic stupidity of the globalist left. I should never do that. But I do. I still actually have some sort of semblance of hope that people have common sense. I'm wrong. I told you I'll admit when I'm wrong. Because I knew that they were going to blame everything, every symptom of the vax, every death caused by the vax, every infirmity caused by the vax, they're going to blame it on COVID or climate change. I knew they were going to do that. We have, you have heart attacks going through the roof in Australia. Well, they blame it on a heat wave. Suddenly people drop dead of heart attacks because of a heat wave. Never had before. But in 2023, people drop dead of a heat wave. Never have in the history of America, never in the history of the world, that people simply drop dead because there's a heat wave.
Yeah.
But now people are dropping dead just because people are dropping dead from hot water. That was another one too.
Oh yeah.
Hot water rates.
Hot shower.
Hot shower, drop dead. out of nowhere. Also, we knew all vaccine deaths, all vaccine symptoms, all vaccine maladies were going to be blamed on COVID or climate change or something else. But I never thought that they were going to blame it on a Russian ray gun. I never thought that they were going to blame vaccine symptoms, vaccine illnesses on a Russian ray gun. So credit to them for expanding the horizon of their own stupidity. Really, congratulations. Here's more on this. More on 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes proudly pushes this stuff out. 60 Minutes video, investigative reporter Christo Grozev. Now, Grozev, who does he work for? The military industrial complex. Weird how he thinks it's a Russian ray gun, too. Play for me, Heather.
The thinking.
If it is Russia, investigative reporter Christo Grozev believes he knows who's involved. In 2018, Grozev was the first to discover the existence of a top-secret Russian intelligence unit, which goes by a number, 29155.
These are people who are trained to be versatile assassins and sabotage operators. They're trained in counter-surveillance, they're trained in explosives, they're trained in using poison and technology equipment to actually inflict pain or damage to the targets.
Grozev works with our collaborators on this report, a magazine called The Insider and Germany's Der Spiegel. He has a long track record uncovering Russian documents, and Grozev says he found one that may link 29155 to a directed energy weapon.
And when I saw it, I literally had tears in my eyes because it was spelling out what they had been doing.
It's a piece of accounting, an officer of 29155 received a bonus for work on, quote, potential capabilities of non-lethal acoustic weapons.
Which told us that this particular unit had been engaged with somewhere, somehow, empirical tests of a directed energy unit.
There it is.
There it is.
Written down in black and white.
It's the closest to a receipt you can have for this.
So 60 Minutes basically dedicates an entire show to a Russian ray gun, or entire segment of a show. I don't know how long it was because I won't watch 60 Minutes. Christoph Grosev, who is linked to the military-industrial complex, he makes his money off of selling weapons, or makes his money off of the companies that sell weapons. So keep that in mind. So, of course, he's going to want to now have some sort of deep dive research into developing, having Honeywell or, all the other companies.
Oh, man.
I just asked.
Now I'm blanking.
Yeah, I'm blanking. Raytheon.
Raytheon.
There you go. Blanking on military. I haven't talked about it in a while. So, because I was thinking Lloyd Austin, who do you work for? Raytheon. So, whether it's Honeywell, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, now they're all coming back.
Yeah, there you go.
You're going to have to do some sort of deep dive research and development, R&D, into how are we going to counteract this weapon that is a possible, this is the evidence. So, all these symptoms now that are being blamed on the Russian ray gun are coming from a possible non-lethal acoustic weapon. Possible. And yeah, 60 Minutes dedicates an entire segment of their show over this. And now vaccine side effects are going to be blamed on a Russian ray gun. There we go. Hey, I want to call out the McGroins. Love you guys. Seen a bunch of you guys on tonight. Thank you for putting me on. Appreciate it. We're quick here now. Thank you for putting me on, McGroin Nation. Thank you guys. Seriously, I really, really appreciate it. Trying to pop 1,000 on Rumble. Maybe, you know what? Well, maybe the way that we pop 1,000 on Rumble is through McGroin Nation. I'll never forget it. The moment that we pop 1,000 on Rumble, we'll never be able to forget that it was McGroin Nation that got us there.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Seriously, thank you all you guys that are on tonight. I've seen some names already pop up. Salty McGroin hit me up on Twitter earlier today. Really do appreciate you guys. Thank you for supporting the people that I love too, like Bongino. Really do love you guys. Thank you. Seriously, thank you so much. All right, let's move on to some Biden stuff here. I titled this segment of the show, this is S-H-I-P. Don't think I'm saying the S word here. Biden ship. Really, and I didn't even mean it to be that way until I just saw what it looked like on my paper here. So maybe I'll change it to Biden boat in case there's no slips. So that there's no slips. So we're having some problems here in the United States of America. Vigilant News video. You guys can just side by side this one whenever you get it up there. Just let me know. Another one. So we've had another ship. Another one. I'm on the wrong. You guys are right. Just skip over that one, Heather, and go to the next one. And then we'll come back to that one. So just keep it loaded. Okay, there you go. Side by side. Don't side by side because this is a. This is Vigilant News post, but it's with Elijah talking so on. But he could talk it through. It's actually a good segment. It's for a minute. Another one, large ship crashes into major bridge in Oklahoma this time. Play it for me.
Top story today comes from the Gateway Pundit that an Oklahoma bridge was shut down after being struck by a barge. You just saw the video earlier in this episode. We'll watch it again. Now, this is the second time in a week that a ship has actually struck a bridge. A bridge near the Kier Lock and Dam in Sallisaw, Oklahoma, was shut down on Saturday after it was struck by a barge. Now, it's quoted saying that the US 59 south of Sallisaw at Kier Reservoir is completely shut down. At this time, it's due to a barge that struck the bridge at the pylon once again. Troopers are diverting traffic away from the area, and the bridge is going to be shut down until inspections of the bridge can be made. I wonder why. Perhaps it's because we just saw a major disaster. And we watched the video earlier, but I want you to take a look at it. And you can see that people are wondering, what is happening to our country? Why does this continue to keep happening? It seems like accidents every day. You see the contact right there hits the main support structure.
Come on, Elijah. You know why it's happening. It's Pete Buttigieg told you why. It's a racist bridge.
Yeah.
You know why it's a racist bridge. That's the Secretary of Transportation, former mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's all his giant galactic experience in transportation, being the mayor of a city with 30,000 people in it. But I digress. We all know why they're hitting these bridges. They're racist bridges. Of course, that's the only explanation that we've gotten from the Department of Transportation. Of course, we have Palestine, Ohio, completely destroyed off the planet. We got that. And of course, Baltimore, Francis Scott Key Bridge, destroyed off the planet. Now we got a major bridge here in Oklahoma that's now shut down, destroyed off the planet. And here's another one for you. Before I show you this next one, how many of these happened? Aaron, you think about it. Heather, you think of it. You think of any of them, let me know. How many bridges were run into at their pylons during the Trump administration?
Zero.
I was covering, let's see, I've started the podcast in 2020. Definitely knew my politics prior to 2020, started the podcast in 2020. Never saw one.
No.
Never saw a major train derailment either. I know there was some, but I never saw one. You know, I never saw a train derailment where you have a biochemical leaking into the air and the NTSB lights it on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never saw that before. Aaron, you ever seen that?
Nope.
Where you have a noxious gas.
No.
Which is deadly to everybody around it. And instead of controlling it, you just light it on fire. It explodes everywhere. And then you build the tracks over. You don't even clean it out. I got you. Stay on. Stay with me. You not only don't clean up the mess.
Yeah.
You bury the mess and put the tracks over the mess.
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, I was just going to say it's like, the crack at the White House. You know, you got to blow it up.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, no. That's
or the pipe bombs.
Yeah, you just blow it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Those are the tags. Yeah, I was going to say. So you find, you do a, now explain this to me. And I digress, you know, because here we are. I'm supposed to do Biden boat. I'm changing it from Biden ship. People are going to think I'm trying to slip in the S word. I'm not.
You got to just keep it.
I got to go Biden boat. But anyway. So you have cocaine at the White House. Aaron and I, we played the radio traffic of the Secret Service police. Everybody knows, listen, there's two separate sections of the Secret Service. You have Secret Service agents, the protections outfit, and then you have Secret Service police. They're actually armed, fully uniformed police officers.
Yeah.
They went into the Capitol. They secured the cocaine, not the Capitol. They went into the White House. They secured the white powder. Okay, they secured it. They lab tests all on the radio. All we played it. Yeah. This is coming back. It's called a region test. They did the region test, came back positive for cocaine. Now, what do you do with that? You put it into your evidence locker.
Right.
No, what did they do? They put charges on it and blew it up.
Blew it up?
Why would you blow up cocaine? If you know now it's cocaine, and the only way for you to be harmed by cocaine is if you actually inject it or stick it up your nose. So why in the world would you blow it up? Then you have, of course, the RNC, DNC bombing. That didn't happen. Need to follow. I'm trying to think of, I forgot his name. But anyway, who's putting out the best stuff on this? Darren Beatty. Darren Beatty puts out the best stuff. Revolver News. Follow Darren Beatty on the pipe bomber stuff. On Bannon all the time. Listen to this guy. Really, really good. But then you have a bomb, quote unquote bomb, with an egg timer on it.
Right, right.
It's supposed to go off 12 hours from when it's placed. We have the video footage of the guy putting it in there. It's supposed to go off during the certification of the electors and all that stuff, supposed to go off there, but it's supposed to go off 12 hours later, but it has a 1 hour egg timer on it. A literal egg timer.
Yeah.
And after it's found, there's now video evidence of all, it's not video evidence, it's video fact, of officers standing around it as if it's not a problem, and they actually let children walk past it. It's all in Darren Beatty's report on Revolver. Please check it out. Please read it. And then, so they know it's an innocuous non-bomb, but of course, what did they do with it? Blew it up. It's got no charges in it. It's got no explosives. It's got no TNT in it. It's all fake, and they blow that up too. That's what they do. Blow up all the evidence. That's what they're doing in Ukraine too, blowing up all the evidence. So we have the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Ship blows into, goes right, doesn't hit the bridge. Hits the pylon to the bridge. Just hits right into the pylon, completely destroys that bridge. Now we got it completely destroying the bridge, or at least shutting the bridge down in Oklahoma. And now here's another one, Johnny Midnight video, yet another cargo ship. Play for me, Heather.
Second cargo ship stuck on a bridge. Oh, my God.
just have these giant storage carriers just falling off the ship now. Again, send me videos of when this happened during the Trump administration. I'd love to see it. Send me videos of when we left $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment on the ground in a foreign country, making them the 26th largest army overnight. Send me anytime we have 15,000 illegals crossing the southern border every day. Send me any videos of massive trail derailments when you're blowing up biohazardous material in the air, causing a mushroom cloud over an entire town in Ohio.
Yeah.
Send me any videos. This is what happens. Now, again, you have to choose here. There's an A, B, and C answer to this question. It's either you're completely incompetent, which means you are galactically stupid. It's totally on purpose. Or C, all of the above. Because in order for it to be on purpose, you'd have to be galactically stupid to do these things. So, but none of this ever happened under Donald Trump. Not one time. Nothing. It didn't happen. There's things that happened, but not systemically. Nothing systemic happened like this. But this is what happens when you are out of your element. You are out of your league. You're Pete Booty Juice, and you have no idea what you're doing. So you're just having ships run into bridges. Or alternative possibility, it's all on purpose to affect our supply lines. I choose the second one, by the way. Let me show you this one. Interesting video. Camus video. This is out of the state of Tennessee. Look what they're doing. Bravo to the state of Tennessee. And this is what needs to happen in every red state. They want to inject their vegetables or their cows or whatever with mRNA gene-altering vaccinations. Let them do it. But it won't be allowed in our states. Play for me, Heather.
1894, Senator Hensley moves adoption of House Bill 1894. It's properly seconded. Amendments, Mr. Clerk.
Mr. Speaker, no amendments are filed.
Senator Hensley, on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1894 merely would require any food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material would have to be classified as a drug and labeled as such. With that, Mr. Speaker, I renew my motion.
And that's what Bill Gates is doing right now. He's trying to consolidate. He's trying to buy all sorts of companies. What's that apple cider thing you used to like, Hope, whatever that is? What is it? Bragg's Apple Cider. That wasn't the name before, was it? Oh, I thought it was called something else. But anyway, they're trying to buy these other companies, get it all injected full of mRNA vaccinations and the various other chemicals that should never touch your body, let alone be ingested by your body. But in Tennessee now, if you're going to inject lettuce, vaccine lettuce, Bill, is what this is being nicknamed. You want to inject lettuce or anything else with a vaccine, it has to be labeled as a drug. So at the grocery store, you'll have lettuce and then drug lettuce. That's exactly, now what will that do? Kill the drug lettuce market because ain't nobody buying drug lettuce.
Yeah.
Just like nobody buys Bill Gates' lab meat. Is manufactured out of a lab, out of some sort of goo from the bottom of a hot dog manufacturing plant. No, thank you. But anyway, I'm even giving that lab meat too much credit because it isn't even that. It's a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's great. Every red state needs to do exactly that. Ron DeSantis, I hope he's seeing this because this is exactly. Now, listen, if you don't have the guts to do this sort of thing, you're not MAGA. Just go be a Democrat so we know who you are. Just go be a Democrat, just like all the cowards that leave Bible-thumping churches. They leave them because they can't take the Bible, can't take hellfire and brimstone. So they get out of there. Even though they're going to be judged that way, they get out. If you can't take the heat, just get out of the kitchen. Go be a Democrat where you belong. You want to just simply talk about, you know, we want to lower taxes on companies, and you want to be that, you know, sort of blue dog Democrat, rhino Republican. You know what? No, just go be a Democrat. We don't want you. Democrats are all rejoicing. Oh, Donald Trump isn't being supported by any of the past presidents. You know, George W. Bush isn't supporting him. Dick Cheney's not supporting him. Good.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney. I think we only have one living Republican past president at this point. But I'm talking about presidential candidates. None of them are voting for him. Mitt Romney. Good. If Mitt Romney voted for me, I'd go, something's wrong with me.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Something is wrong with where I stand politically, ethically, morally. If Mitt Romney supported me, if George W. Bush, who's just a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist who loves to start wars to enrich Dick Cheney, No, thank you. I don't want Dick Cheney's support. I mean, I want Liz Cheney to endorse me?
No.
Gross. I'd rather have a giant glistening turd endorse me than Liz Cheney or Dick Cheney or George W. Bush or Mitt Romney. Sarah Palin, however, is supporting Donald Trump. Good for her. All right, let's go. Let's do Midas real quick. Give me 60 seconds of Midas Gold Group. My one and only sponsor. You can probably tell why. Midas Gold Group. They are like us, what I was just espousing. These aren't Romney Republicans. These aren't Murkowski Republicans. They aren't McCain Republicans or Bush Republicans. This is a MAGA company. They know the election in 2020 was stolen. This is a MAGA company. They are pro-life. This is a MAGA company. Not a Republican company. Not a pseudo-conservative company. A true Make America Great company. They know what's going on. They know about the devaluing of the dollar globally by the BRICS movement, the de-dollarization of the dollar around the globe by the BRICS movement, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, trying to de-dollarize the globe. And while they're doing it, the BRICS movement is buying copious amounts of gold. If you're noticing, the price of gold is going through the roof. It's reaching record highs right now. It's because they are buying up, and you have to ask yourself, if gold means nothing, why does America own thousands of tons of it, which we do?
Right.
It's worth a lot. We all need to be hedging against hyperinflation, i.e. the de-dollarizing of the globe, where the dollar used to be gold for everybody because it had a gold standard. It's gone now. So instead of having dollars, and we got to have both, but right now you've got to be hedging against hyperinflation and the de-dollarization of the globe by buying gold. And you got to buy it from the right company. This is real gold. It's physical gold in your hand. That's what Midas deals with. Physical, not phantom gold in some IRA account. Physical gold in your hand. Even their IRAs are physical gold in your hand. Buy your gold. Buy it now. I'm doing it this month. Buy it from, I actually was supposed to buy it last month. Didn't do it. It's because I'm lazy. So I'm buying it this month. So buying it this month myself. I keep saying I'm supposed to buy in February. I just keep forgetting. So I got to get it done. And when I do remember, I put it off and I'm lazy. So I guarantee you, buying it this month right now. Put it on the record. My wife's sitting here. She'll get it done for me. Buy me gold. So we're buying thousands of dollars worth of gold myself this month from Midas. Buy it from Midas. And when you do, tell them the TLP sent you. They're my one and only sponsor. Got to keep these people going. Love them. Appreciate you guys at Midas. Got to show you this video. So you hear the Biden administration. What are they touting right now as far as crime? Has anybody seen it? Some of you had to be thinking, man, Tom's lying to us. He's talking about the felonious murder rate through the roof, 25%. Felonious crime rate through the roof, 40%. But Biden's coming out and saying the crime rate's way down. Have you noticed that? And he's using crime statistics. Now, what would be called credible crime statistics, right? Because it's coming from the vaunted, and as Ken Buck says, the trusted FBI and DOJ.
Yeah.
These new crimes, Biden's come out and said, you know what? Remember how Biden often says that, you know, illegal border crossings are way down for the month? Remember how he says that even though it's still 15,000 people a day?
Yeah.
But he says that they're down because by their numbering system, they're down because what the people who cross the border are down. But the people they didn't let cross the border, they redirected to the port of entry, loaded them on buses, and crossed them anyway. So they didn't actually illegally cross the border, even though they still illegally crossed the border, but it didn't count against the stats.
Right.
They all still crossed the border. Some of them illegally, right over the border, right through the fence, or whatever left of the fence. Crossed the border there. Those were counted. But they said, no, we cut it down. It used to be 15,000 a month. Now it's only 7,000 a month because they took the other 8,000. Brought them to the port of entry, loaded them on buses, and instead of the illegals actually crossing the border themselves, the CBP crossed it for them.
Yeah.
So took it off their stats. So the same amount of people illegally crossed, but they just count only half of them as illegal, even though all of them are actually counted as illegals when it comes to the government benefits they get.
Mm-hmm.
That's the games that they always play, not to mention the 360,000 that they illegally have flown into the country directly like from Haiti. In numerous other countries, just load them up on planes. That also, so that 360,000, did that count against Biden's illegal border crossing numbers? No, because they didn't illegally cross the border. They were flown in across the border by the Biden administration. Still illegal, but they just don't count it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it all works. So here's how the crime stats work. Sassafras 84 video. All right, y'all, share this with your liberal friends. This is, if you have them, another mic drop moment. Crime stats, how they are actually calculated 2023 and 2024. Play for me.
If you have one of those idiotic liberal friends who try to tell you that the country's safer under Biden, you're going to want to bookmark this video because I'm going to go ahead and shit all over that. We've seen a ton of liberal creators try to claim that violent crime has gone down since Biden took office. We even had Rolling Stone write an article about it. They claim that murder has gone down 13%. They claim a 6% overall drop in violent crime and even a 4% drop in property crime. Now, here's the funny thing. If you were to just look at the numbers from Biden's DOJ, it would appear that they're right. Murder and violent crime have declined under Biden. However, there's a very good reason why those numbers have gone down. And that's because 2 years ago, the DOJ changed the way that local police departments report the crimes to the federal government. Whereas that reporting used to be mandatory, now it's optional. And since it's optional, only 44% of all police departments reported all their crimes. Another 24% partially participated, but 32% of all police agencies didn't report anything, to include the LAPD, the NYPD, Miami Police Department, Chicago Police Department, as well as DC and Baltimore. So if you were wondering why the DOJ's numbers don't seem to match up with what we're seeing in reality, it's because they don't. And here's the most embarrassing part. They haven't accounted for a single crime from the LAPD. They haven't accounted for a single crime from the NYPD. They haven't accounted for a single crime from Miami. They haven't accounted for a single crime from Baltimore or DC. And they haven't accounted for a single crime from Chicago. And they still only managed a 13% decline in murder and a 6% decline in violent crime. Imagine how much murder and violent crime has to be happening everywhere else. When you remove LA, New York, Baltimore, DC, Chicago, and Miami, the numbers only decline a tiny bit. So no, crime isn't down under Biden. And no, violent crime isn't down under Biden. The only thing that's declined is the amount of cities that they're counting, because the Biden administration has managed to make 32% of some of the most violent cities in this country not count.
So again, it's not about how many votes you got, it's who counted the vote.
Yeah.
That's the way that it's the same thing with the border. Oh, we lowered the amount of people illegally crossing the border by redirecting them around the border process and still having them illegally cross the border so that they don't count against the illegal border crossing count. Same thing here. So he says crime's down. Well, it's kind of weird. How's crime down? Everybody notice that crime's down? I mean, depending on where you live, you can probably tell crime is not down. Crime is through the roof, depending on where you live, especially in blue states.
Yeah.
So think about this. So it used to be you had to report your criminal activity to the DOJ. You had to, as a city, as a municipality, sheriff's office, county, whatever it is, you had to, in mandatory fashion, it was mandatory, you had to report your crime stats to the DOJ. That was switched to optional in all of 2023 and all of 2022. Weird. And then the crime rate went down. Just like the illegal border crossings went down. Just like Joe Biden got 81 million votes. Weird how that works, isn't it? It's like they claim in California, our crime rate's down. They've reclassified crimes as non-crime. So of course your crime rate would go down. If you reclassify everything that's under $900, as a non-theft, your theft rate will go down, even though you have the same exact amount of thefts. If you say that we're no longer going to call burglaries, which is the unlawful entry into somebody's curtilage or dwelling to commit a crime, and you call that instead of burglary, you call it a theft, then your burglary rate, what your theft can be, if you break into somebody's car and you steal their wallet and it's got $200 in it, that's a misdemeanor theft, but with a felonious entry into the car to commit the burglary is entering into curtilage, vehicle, dwelling, and committing a crime therein. So burglary in and of itself, the breaking into and entering in somebody's car or curtilage or home is what is a burglary, and then you commit a crime therein. So if you reclassify burglary as a non-crime, then the person's only going to be charged with the crime they committed after the burglary. So you can say burglary rates are way down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what this is. They're all liars, Republicans and Democrats. way better chance of truth with a Republican, but they're all liars, especially the Biden administration. So they changed the mandatory reporting system to optional 2 years ago. And here's the stats now. So only 44% of police agencies fully reported. 56% of agencies didn't fully report. 32% of agencies didn't participate at all. And they could only manage a 13% drop in murder, 6% drop in violent crime, and a 4% drop in property crimes. When 44% basically of crime has been eliminated.
Yeah.
At least partially. For sure, 32% of all crimes have been eliminated. Because only, 32% of agencies didn't participate at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you got no crime stats out of L.A. None. For 2 years, L.A. has been crime-free. That's how Biden is saying that the crime rate's down, because his sheet says that L.A. is crime-free. Baltimore, crime-free. Chicago, for the last 2 years, crime-free, not one crime.
Crazy.
We see 53 shootings a weekend in Chicago, but not to the Biden administration. None of those count. When Biden says, get this now, when Biden says the crime rate is down, all 53 shootings that will happen in Chicago this weekend under Brandon leftist moron Johnson, all 53 of those shootings will not count against the Biden crime rates, against what the Biden crime rate data.
Yeah.
NYC, New York City, no crime in the last 2 years, zero. D.C., crime-ridden third world hellhole, D.C., no crime whatsoever for the last 2 years. Miami, no crime whatsoever in the last 2 years. Nothing. 32%. Those are just some of the agencies. 32% of all agencies didn't participate at all. Only 44% participated fully. So 56% of agencies either partially participated or didn't participate at all. And that's why Biden's saying that his crime rates are way down. But even with that, you only get a 13. You don't have Baltimore, LA, Chicago, NYC, DC, and Miami reporting, and 56% of other jurisdictions not reporting. 56%, and you only get a 13% drop in murder. And like you said on the video, imagine the real crime rate.
Yeah.
Imagine what's really happening if we got the real stats. All right, let's do some election fraud. Out of Fulton County, Georgia, of course, Kyle Becker video. In 2020, Georgia ran an illegal election, which they did. Again, I know that this gets redundant for those of you that watch this podcast all the time, but I like to set the precedent with this stuff, like to lay the foundation for it. Brad Raffensperger, current Secretary of State for the state of Georgia, who did he meet with in April of 2020? Approximately, what, 6 months before the election, right? Something like that, 6 months, 7 months before the election. He meets with Mark Elias, Democratic Party activist acolyte attorney. Is suing all around the country so that Zucker boxes stay on every street corner. There's no signature verification, no ID requirements. Suing all around the country. You think he says he's got 53 lawsuits pending. All for so he can defend democracy. He defends democracy by delegitimizing elections. That's how he defends democracy. But anyway, but why would Brad Raffensperger, a quote unquote conservative Republican, why would he be meeting with Perkins Coie's Mark Elias? Perkins Coie, hired by the DNC and Hillary Clinton, who hired Fusion GPS, who hired Christopher Steele, who hired Igor Danchenko, Steele dossier. That's all from Mark Elias. Why would Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, be meeting in April of 2020 with Mark Elias to decide how to adjudicate ballots in the state of Georgia? You've got a Republican governor, a Republican president. Weird, isn't it? Republican House, Republican Senate, I'm talking about in Georgia, and then you're meeting with Mark Elias, a Democratic Party activist attorney who started the entire collusion hoax? Why would Mark Elias be meeting with them 6, 7, 8 months before the 2020 election to decide on how to adjudicate ballots? You have Raffensperger not meeting with the RNC, not meeting with the Trump team, not meeting with Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, not meeting with any Republican. He's meeting with Mark Elias to decide how to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election, because this is going to be their first mass mail-in balloting system in United States history. Weird. And what they did was, together, make it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election. Why? Because there's 66,000 illegal ballots that we know of. That's not electric ballots. That's not counting Dominion. These are just paper ballots. 66,000. Trump lost Georgia by 11,000, but 66,000. I have them by the numbers. Absolute, indisputable, irrefutable fact. And Raffensperger knew that there were 66,000 invalid ballots, but he certified the election anyway. Because he's actually meeting with a Democratic Party activist, operative, prior to the election to make it impossible to adjudicate those 66,000 illegal ballots on the night of the election. In an election that's the first mass mail-in ballot election in the history of America, where you actually need easy voter ballot adjudication night of, where you have a team there, adjudication just means guilty or innocent, good or not good. You have a group of Republicans and Democrats. They look at the ballot and they go, good or not good. And they decide it has to be easy. But Mark Elias, of course, and Raffensperger don't want it to be easy because they want to say it's this long, drawn-out process so that by the time that anybody can even get through any of these ballots, it's too late. That's what they want. And that's what Raffensperger did. Kyle Becker video in 2020, Georgia ran an illegal election. Here's some testimony. It's in court now. It's a good thing. Play it for me.
Pick back up where you were talking about asking for and not receiving chain of custody documents.
Okay, well, that, you know, since we asked and did not receive any of it, you know, that to me is just one reason. Well, how can I trust, you know, as a board member to certify this election when I cannot receive even a sampling, anything at all with regards to chain of custody documents? But we'd ask for not every surveillance tape, but ask for to see surveillance tapes on just give us some samplings of that so we can take a look at it, because I knew that this was going to be an important issue because of all the hullabaloo that any of us that were alive in those days, you know, was witnessing as being an issue. And from that request, the way in which it turned out, there was never one surveillance tape, an inch of footage that was ever delivered to the board. Somewhere along the line, and I can't remember exactly when it was, but I had asked the question, what did we do for signature verification? And the comment I got back was, which frankly at that time floored me, was, well, you know, we didn't do any.
Hey, Brad Raffensperger, what did we do for signature verification on the Georgia election? Nothing. Because he met with Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, in April of 2020 to make sure they did nothing. To make sure that it would be impossible to adjudicate the ballots the night of. You should have signature verification at the polling place. When I went and voted in the primary, what, last month? Is that when it was? Can't remember.
Yeah.
So I went and voted in the primary. They had me sign again to prove my signature. I have the same signature on my driver's license that I've had for the last 30 years, something like that. And yet they made me sign again to prove my signature. What did any of that happen in a state where Trump lost by 11,000 votes and it takes him days to count all the ballots? No, the guy asked, what did we do for signature verification? He gets back from basically Brad Raffensperger, nothing. How about some video surveillance tapes of these Zucker boxes and these mass mail-in drop-off, they're not mail-ins, they're drop-off boxes. How about some video surveillance that so we can see, like we saw in 2000 Mules, and it's not just 2000 Mules, there's a ton of other data from all around the country of people walking up because they took screens, my phone, they took screenshots of the ballots when they dropped in the box because they're getting paid per ballot.
Yeah.
They come up to the ballot, they like a deck of cards, hold up the ballots and take a picture of them, mm-hmm. and then drop them in. That's illegal. And then you have Bill Barr, and it's now, by the way, it's now coming out Bill Barr is a filthy liar. We already knew that. It's now coming out that his own people are coming to him and saying, have come out and said, we were telling him we had a mass signature verification problem, illegal ballot problem, and Bill Barr told him, don't talk about it. And then Bill Barr said he found no evidence of any mass voter fraud. That could overturn the election.
Yep.
So Bill Barr, when he was getting evidence of mass voter fraud, election fraud, told everybody, we're not going to look into that, and then told everybody he found no evidence of mass election fraud. So the mass election fraud that was being reported to him, he ignored it and then said there wasn't any. Imagine that. And wokeness tweet. You can put that one up there for me, Heather. Holy bleep. The number of voters registering within a without a photo ID is skyrocketing in three key swing states. Listen, folks. This is why I hope Laura Trump does what she needs to do with the RNC. Attorneys have to be dispatched to the state of Texas, to the state of Pennsylvania, to the state of Arizona. And we're going to lose all three of those states, just so you know. As I told you, unless we change the four things that I've outlined to you, we will lose in 2024. It didn't matter who's going to be the president. We've already got some of those things straight. As I told you what the problem was, you have election fraud, you have no message, no money, and establishment Republicans. Those are our four problems. The establishment Republicans are backdooring conservatives and actually voting against them, campaigning against them, and definancing them. You had McCarthy not financing MAGA candidates in the last election. So those four problems: Rhino establishment Republicans, no finance. We don't have any money. They've got all the money. We don't have any money. No message and corrupt elections. We have a message now. That's been taken care of. Donald Trump is our candidate. We got a message now. That's done. All the rest of three are not done. This is happening right now. It's a great account to follow. And wokeness is a great account to follow. Very accurate. Arizona, Texas, and Pennsylvania skyrocketing, registering without a photo ID. Now, go to the next one for me, Heather. I'm sorry, this explains it. HAV, that's how I pronounce it, allows voters to register with a Social Security number. Now, I wonder why they're flooding the southern border. Illegals are not able to get licenses there, but they do get the four-digit Social Security number.
Yep.
So illegals are now going to be voting in, what is it, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Arizona, because no, they don't have a driver's license, because in Florida, you got to have a driver's license to vote or a state-issued ID. Not in Arizona, not in Texas, not in Pennsylvania, and just so everybody knows, we don't win Texas, it's already over, and we have to win both Pennsylvania and Arizona. So you know. And now, people can vote there with simply a four-digit Social Security number that's issued to all illegals. Just so everybody knows. So don't be shocked if we lose. You need to be calling people. We need to be insisting that attorneys are dispatched to Texas, Pennsylvania, and Arizona, because ain't none of it legal. They're not allowed to vote. You are not allowed to vote unless you are a United States citizen. Not even if you, because they give these, why do they give illegal Social Security numbers? So they can receive their welfare that you and I pay for. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in a country that's $35 trillion in debt as of next month. Or later, actually not next month, it's now April. Later this month will be $35 trillion debt because we're adding $1 trillion worth of debt every 90 days. So you are not allowed to vote in an election if you are not a United States citizen. You have to be a United States citizen to vote in an election, not have a four-digit Social Security number. But in Texas, Pennsylvania, and Arizona, all you need is a four-digit Social Security number. That's weird. That's happening, isn't it? It's also very weird that the people, the state that's receiving the most people, there's two states, by the way, that are receiving the most illegals when it comes to the illegal flights, where you have Biden flying 360,000 people at your expense on high-dollar jumbo jets. What are the number one and number two states that receive those flights? Florida and Texas. Florida and Texas. Now in Florida, can't vote without an ID. Oh, that's racist. Why is it racist? Anybody can get an ID. Yeah, but some people can't get a driver's license. I know, but you can always get an ID. How do you know that? Oh, I was just a cop here for 25 years. You can get an ID. You can have your driver's license revoked for life, and you can get an ID.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So now they pull the race card and all that crap. Anybody of any color can get an ID card, but not in Texas. All you need is a four-digit back end of a Social Security card. That's it. And that's why Biden is flying the most illegals into those two separate states. That's why. To try to turn them purple to blue. Here's another very strange coincidence. We got barges bashing into bridges, smashing into bridges, being stuck under bridges, destroying bridges all around the country right now under Pete Buttigieg's Department of Transportation. Here's another one for you in the Department of Agriculture. Disclose TV and watch out. Are they going to try to drop? Is this COVID 2024? Is it? I'm not kidding. Is it? This is going to be the next thing. We got to close our churches down. Not that I ever will. Put masks on. Not that I ever will. Be vaccinated for. Not that I ever will. Stand 6 feet apart. Not that I ever will. Put out alcohol gel stations. Not that I ever will. Quarantine my healthy family. Not that I ever will. And those of you that did, you need to be publicly apologizing for it if you're a Christian leader. Not a race. Got a friend. No, I'm not going to say a friend. A pastor I know, strangely erasing his COVID videos. It's weird, isn't it? Why are you covering up your COVID videos? You were closed for however many months you were closed. Why are you erasing the evidence that you closed your church? Weird. Disclosed TV video. Disclosed TV tweet. New largest U.S. fresh egg producer halts production at Texas plant. Here's Texas again. After bird flu. It's like they're trying to ruin their elections, and now are they going to usher in a bird flu pandemic? Am I saying that's going to happen? I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I flat out hope it doesn't happen. They tried to pull it with the swine flu.
Yeah.
Tried to pull it with COVID. They tried to pull it with monkeypox. Trying to think of all the other things they've tried to do, but anyway. After bird flu found in chickens. Well, it might be found in some chickens. About 1.6 million laying eggs and 337 pullets were killed. I'm assuming that's killed. Cold. Is that cold?
Yeah,
is cold. That killed?
Yeah.
Okay, killed. Yeah. Cold. So I guess that means kill. I guess that cold means killing chickens. So we're going to let's watch this thing. What are they going to try to do? Who knows? I hope nothing. I really do. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I am not. I wait for evidence, and I want to see what they do, and I want to see how bad that gets. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care what the flu is. I don't care if it's bird flu, swine flu, COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-2084, whatever it is, pterodactyl flu. I don't care what it is. I'm not closing. I'm not standing 6 feet apart. Nothing. Nothing. Not taking your stupid vaccine. Nothing. Just so everybody knows. Why won't I take a vaccine? Because it ends up right here. Right here. In this story, Wall Street Silver video. And so it begins. I began covering this on Saturday. We need to congratulate Australia because Australia now has digital ID for their entire country. But don't worry. Don't worry, folks. No, take it easy. Don't worry. It's not mandatory. Remember Joe Biden said that the vaccine was never going to be mandatory. You don't have to have a digital ID in Australia. Now, they have what's called MyGov there. They have millions and millions of people on MyGov who now if you're already on MyGov, then you're forced over to their new digital ID.
Yeah.
Because you can't stay on MyGov. You got to go over to their new digital ID. You're not going to be forced, but eventually the only way you'll be able to buy anything is through digital ID, but you were never forced.
Of course.
Just like you were never forced to take the vaccination.
No.
You used to have no job, no income, starve to death, but you were never forced to take it. You're never forced to take it, even though you're going to lose your business, lose your income, lose the business that's been in your family for 100 years. But you were never forced to take it. Can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without it. But you were never forced to take it. Right? Remember that? That's what Pfizer said as they were testifying at a parliamentary hearing in Australia. That's what Scott Morrison says. You were never forced to take it. Remember that? Dan Andrews, you're never forced to take it, even though he said you're being forced to take it, mandated, and you need to, if you're not going to take it, you have no job. But it's not, you're not forcing it. Not forcing it on anybody. So don't worry, even though it's basically, what they'll do is the entire country will be digitized and there will be no cash because Australia has been moving for over a year to be cashless. So when there's no cash and there's no gold, no, you aren't forced to take the digital, you weren't forced to go on digital ID, but there's no other way to buy anything, but you weren't forced.
Yeah.
That's the plan. And if, by the way, even if in some way, shape, or form, there are options, you'll still be forced. You'll still be forced. Because that's the Bible unfolding right before your very eyes. It causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell. Is it important? I'm sorry, my nose is driving me crazy. It's kind of important to be able to buy and sell.
Yep.
That no one may buy or sell. That no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the digital ID or the number of his name or the digital ID. That's the point. That was the entire point of COVID. That's the entire point of transgenderism. I got a whole section here. Who's the Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling?
Yes.
Right? Yep. Harry Potter author. Got a whole thing on you get arrested, you'd be arrested now in Scotland for using transgender inappropriate speech. You call a man a woman and a woman a man, or you call a man who's pretending to be a woman and you still call him a man? You get arrested for it. So she challenged him and they refused to arrest her. That's everyone's wondering, how in the world does transgender fit into what you're claiming is the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist agenda and narrative, which is to leverage you into one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by the globalist left? Because they deal with transgenderism. You will say what we want you to say, or we'll arrest you. So they're manipulating your behavior again. It's like you're going to wear a mask even though it does nothing. Then we're going to laugh at you and tell you to wear two. Then we're going to laugh at you and tell you to wear an N95 with a cloth on top of it. Then we're going to tell you to take one vax, two vax, three vax. Now the 10th one gets released in the fall instead of nine like I thought. It's all to manipulate behavior, to control your access to all commerce. You're going to have to stand now. They come out here with this bird flu out of Texas. You're going to need to tell them to take their bird flu and shove it up their own rear end. You're going to have to do it. Share this with your COVID-caving conservative friends who still think they were saving the world by putting a mask on, even when they see all of this stuff unfold right before their very eyes. Guess what put in the infrastructure for digital ID and digital currency inside of Australia? The European Union, which is trying to do this next. Canada, which has already tried to do this via ArriveCan. Guess what put all of that digital infrastructure in place? The vaccine passports. That was the point of COVID-19, to get us one step closer to Revelation 13, 16, 17, and 18, the mark of the beast. Wall Street Silver video, and so it begins. Play for me, Heather.
Life is about to change for every Australian. As much as Senator Gallagher seeks to downplay the significance of introducing one central digital identifier for each and every Australian, the reality is this is the most significant legislation I've seen in my time in the Senate. It's the glue that holds together the digital control agenda by which every Australian will be controlled, corralled, exploited, and then gagged when they speak or act in opposition. This bill will be misused because this bill is written to be misused. The government knows digital ID will be compulsory by the device of preventing access to government services, banking services, air travel, and major purchases for any Australian who does not have a digital ID. The digital ID will in effect create a live data file of your movements, purchases, accounts, and associates, containing reference to every piece of data being held in the private and government sector as a first step in a wider agenda. Those listening at home may be wondering how an individual could avoid being drawn into this net of data, trading, and surveillance. The simple answer is, you can't. The government knows control will be used by government to identify people who say mean things on social media to speed up enforcement of our new laws against saying home truths to crazy or dishonest people. No hiding behind anonymous accounts or false addresses. You can expect a knock on your door at home, work, or school, as we're seeing happening in other countries with digital identity already in place.
So if everything is in your digital wallet, imagine how scared you'd be to have that faucet shut off. So now you're controlled. If everything, I mean, think about how helpless a lot of people feel when their battery runs out on their phone, or something's wrong, a tower's down, everybody feels helpless. People would be there. Everything you have will be your digital ID, which starts with facial recognition. Facial recognition technology. Everything is there. So it's not in your hands. It's in somebody else's hands, and it's not just Apple ID. I forgot the name. I should have written it down. Of the government agency inside Australia running this thing. It's not even an Apple ID where you use it to buy things or whatever. You know, they always ask you on Apple, you put your face on there, you can end up buying stuff with it or identifying yourself with it. It's not, and I hate all that too, and I don't participate in any of it. Your thumbprint and all that garbage. I don't participate in any of that stuff. But it's not Apple that's in charge of it. It's the freaking government. And who's in charge? Are they left wingers or right wingers? It'll always be left wingers. So no right wingers would ever want a digital identity. The digital identity system cover. I don't have really any problem with anybody having a digital identity if you want to. I'm not doing it. You want to do it, you can do it. But a digital identity controlled by a government entity? Who can just turn it off because you said something anti-transgender? And they can call anything a threat to national security? anything, just make it up, because what's hate speech? What's a threat? What's a threat to national security? Anything they want it to be, and they just shut it off. So now you're quiet and you're subdued and you're like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to get banned. I see Christians do that. I see conservatives do that. When it comes to YouTube, when it comes to Facebook, if I say this, I'm going to be banned. You're controlled then. You're better off just losing everything. What is the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Mark 8:34 through 38. What's the point? You're now controlled. Well, if I preach against homosexuality or I preach against abortion, I'm going to be banned off of YouTube. But that's my income. It doesn't matter. There's more important things than this. It's more important things than incomes and jobs. God will provide if you're standing for God anyway. And he'll provide better for you as you stand for him than if you cave to the world.
Yep.
Which is what everybody did during COVID. No, I don't want to get banned. I don't want to suffer the societal repercussions. That's why I love Joel Altman so much. Conservative Daily Podcast. I love that guy. He owns gun stores, and he told the state of Colorado, get out. I'm not doing any of it. You bring your police and arrest me. That's what you had to know. How many times you got arrested? None. You actually have to stand. But here's the thing. So again, don't worry though. In Australia, which is a Five Eyes country, a major ally of the United States of America, don't worry, because according to Katie Gallagher, it's optional. Katie Gallagher video, the option of using digital ID would mean not having to share copies of your ID documents. When applying, they always sell it how they always sell it. Convenience and safety.
Yep.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For when they shall say, peace and safety. Verse 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, when they shall say, peace and safety. Actually, it's verse 3 and 4, peace and safety. And so they're always selling it. People think it's going to be peaceful and safe. No, it's when they shall say peace and safety. Mm-hmm. Not that everything's peaceful and safe.
Yep.
It's when they shall say peace and safety. Then shall sudden destruction come upon them. And that's what's that talking about? The verse before, for yourselves know perfectly, the day of the Lord still cometh as a thief of the night. For when they shall say peace and safety. They're saying peace and safety now. And you need to be, and I need to be, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 8, restraining. And you can't restrain and comply at the same time. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about non-compliance. Not talking about violence. I'm talking about non-compliance. Everyone just simply says, no, we have no problem.
Yep.
I'm telling you, we're going to need to do it now because it's already passed in Australia. It's already law of the land in Australia. Katie Gallagher, here's the witch who passed it. Play it for me.
A way to have a digital ID that works across the economy. It's regulated. People who participate are accredited. And we have it enshrined in legislation. So those important privacy protections are enshrined in legislation, as is the fact that it's voluntary and that government services need to continue to be provided in a range of ways so that people who don't want a digital ID don't have to have one. So the idea behind having it economy-wide is that, you know, it's not only voluntary, but it's a secure way and a reduced way of providing a lot of documentation to a range of different businesses or governments.
Okay, and you're guaranteeing that it's not going to be compulsory. You've used the word voluntary a few times there.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of myths out there about the digital ID, that it's, you know, that it's somehow government tracking you or holding all this information about you, and it's none of those things, and that the information you provide can't be used for any other purpose. So I am really trying to say to people, if you don't want it, don't have one. If you do want it, and increasingly people are, we've got 10.5 million people with a MyGov ID in place already, you know, it's there and it's safe, and we will review it over time as well to make sure that we are ensuring that people's trust is maintained. But, you know, a lot of people use it already. This is about enshrining it in legislation and hopefully providing people with a really convenient way of proving who they are without sharing all their information many, many times over.
So she's saying voluntary, voluntary, non-compulsory over and over and over again. And what you always need to remember when it comes to a leftist like Katie Gallagher, it's always the inverted truth. It's always the mirrored truth.
Yeah.
So when she says that it's not compulsory, that means it's going to be compulsory. And of course, right now it's voluntary because not everything requires it. But eventually when all stores require it, guess what it becomes? compulsory. And what happens is all you have to do is get some of these major companies, like, I don't know what they have in Australia, but if you have Walmart and everybody, all those Home Depot and all these other COVID caving companies like them, buy into it and they go, okay, now listen, we are now Walmart. We're going to be totally digital, you know, digital money only, right? Digital currency only, digital, which is digital ID. When it's digital ID, it's digital currency, that's it. And then Walmart says to all their suppliers, you will no longer supply Walmart, which puts them out of business, if you don't become become a digital ID company. If you don't, I'll just make this easy. If you don't become digitized, right? So all of them become digitized. So now you can't buy from the companies that supply Walmart. You can't buy Hershey's. You can't buy whatever meat you buy or whatever, Oscar Mayer, whatever it is. Can't buy it because they are now fully digitized, because in order to do business with Walmart, they had to become digitized. So you can't buy from them anymore either. So when you hear Katie Gallagher say, it's not compulsory, it's voluntary. And she says it over and over again because she's lying. She's lying. So you can't believe a word that they're actually saying, because it's always the mirror truth. When she says non-compulsory, it's compulsory. Right now, they can say that it's not. But the plan is for it to slow, not even slowly. You watch, it will not take long, because they've already been behind the scenes. I put up a slide on Saturday about it. They've been working to be cashless. They just came up with a cashless bill, too. They're trying to pass a cashless bill while they're simultaneously passing a mandatory, that they're calling not mandatory, digital ID bill. 11 million Australians are already on MyGov and are being forced over to the new digital ID, because you can't have MyGov. If it's not compulsory, then why can't you keep MyGov? Because they want you on this specific platform, because this specific platform is far more encompassing. Maybe holds your passport, your credit cards, your central bank digital currency. So here's Katie Gallagher. Let's harken back. Has Katie Gallagher ever said anything wasn't going to be voluntary? Has Katie Gallagher ever said that something was voluntary that ended up not being voluntary? Has she ever done that before? Play for me, Heather.
The digital ID system being safe and trustworthy and voluntary.
Government's position on COVID-19 vaccinations is that it is voluntary.
The COVID vaccine is now mandatory.
All authorised workers in Victoria must be fully vaccinated
or risk losing
their
job. That
will be implemented in a partnership between the Commonwealth and the states.
It's not a choice to get vaccinated.
Decisions that state governments and the Commonwealth government took were difficult.
The Queensland Supreme Court has found mandatory COVID vaccination for police officers and nurses unlawful.
And they balanced up, as is always the case with human rights.
Outgoing Commissioner Katerina Carroll failed to give proper consideration to human rights.
And in breach of their human rights.
It is voluntary, and obviously people will make that decision for themselves.
If you're an individual, you will not have to have
COVID-19
one of these digital IDs.
It is voluntary.
That's how it always starts. And Joe Biden did the exact same thing. Video speaks for itself. All right, that's it. 19 minutes worth of overtime, 109 minutes worth of fury. Hope everybody liked it. Appreciate everybody who's on the chats. Listen, I've got a fantastic postgame. It's a longer than usual postgame. All videos, great stuff, heartwarming stuff, negative stuff, all mixed together in a wonderful sort of, what do we want to call it, a potpourri of entertainment. You'll love it. Stick around for the post game. Really appreciate all you guys. Once again, to the McGroin Nation, thank you for putting my podcast out there. All of you guys on here, thank you so much for sticking with me. I see all the similar names every week, some new names. Of course, there's new names on here too all the time, but I recognize, like, I got Nude Monk. I can't miss that one ever. Praise Holler, I always see a Snarl Barkley. Of course, the McGroins, I got Dragon McGroin, Salty McGroin.
Pops McGroin. Caps McGroin.
Joe Dirt. I see a Caps McGroin. There's Pops McGroin. What did you say? Caps McGroin?
Yeah, Caps McGroin. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. Ask me about my groin. But anyway, I love each and every one of you guys. Seriously, dude, if you're ever down in Florida, make sure you come and see me at Foundation Church. Love to see you outside after every service, greeting people. Let me know. Come, because I'm not going to recognize you by face. Come on and tell me, hey, you know what? I'm Pops McGroin. I'd love to meet you. Listen, love each and every one of you guys. Stick around for the post game. See you Thursday night, 8:30. God bless you.
I don't know how people go to the church of perpetual false edification. I don't know how you deal with it. I mean, for me, it's got to be challenging. I couldn't go to a monotone church. A lukewarm church. I could never pull that off. And it's not really because of altruistic reasons or righteous reasons even. I'd be bored out of my mind. I would be bored out of my mind if I wasn't challenged. If there wasn't something that irritated me, I'm at the wrong church. I want something that, you know, I want something where I have to go, you know what, I'm going to go check that. I want to go see if that's really right. Because I don't feel like that could possibly be right. We've had people do that. They come back, they've ended up staying for years, because if you love the Bible, you won't be able to go anywhere else.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.